Lady Gaga has always been Illuminati confirmed, but today I'll prove it to you. We're going to do a talk about her past with the blood sacrifice of Lena Morgana and her connections to Marina Abramovich, Aleister Crowley, and the occult ceremony to the devil at Coachella. Join me here today on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Now, today's going to be an interesting show because I'm actually going to tell you some things that you could actually go out and read right now on my Substack. As you know, I started a Substack about a year ago, I guess now, but I've kind of taken it more seriously. And I'm going to relive the old golden age of blogging, right? Not the Illuminate Confirm golden age, but the Isaac Weishaupt golden age. My studio is falling apart, folks. I need that. There we go. I need some InfoWars studio action here. Okay, so you can subscribe to my Substack right now. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.substack.com. I'll put a link in the show notes. Free subscription. Just sign up. And when I write a new article, it's going to send you the article and the link. Because usually I'm long-winded on the articles. And the idea with the Substack is I'm supposed to make them shorter so that it emails it to you and you can just read it on the email. But your boy's long-winded. I got a lot to say. All right. Now, what I'm going to do for today... And here's the deal. The reason I like the Substack for some things is because the visual medium, I can put the images on there, and it kind of makes more sense, right? But I know some of you don't want to do the reading, and that's okay. I don't always like reading either. I do a lot of audiobooks. There's no shame in that. But I'm gonna read you, and if you want to look at the images, by all means, go check it out at IlluminatiWatcher.substack.com. All right, now, today we're going to, I already told you everything we're going to talk about, so I'm going to read you the article, I'm going to add in a little 2 cents here and there, and then in the conclusion, I'm going to give you a little background info on how Lady Gaga became famous. It's murder. It always is. Yeah, so while you're listening, go subscribe to the Substack, all right? And what I was referencing was she performed at the Grammys in 2025. I did a whole episode about that. You probably heard it. And she was unveiling this new track called Abracadabra. And I dove into that. You can listen to that episode if you want to deep dive into Abracadabra, how that ties into Gnosticism and Abraxas, the chicken-headed snake god. Now, ironically, I actually enjoy that song. call me crazy. But I've always told you I'm a terrible conspiracy theorist. I'm a terrible conspiracy theorist. I'm a terrible Christian. And I'm almost a terrible CrossFitter at this point. But you know what? I'll keep pumping away at all three. I don't care. So during that analysis from the Grammys, I discussed how she was doing what was called the Marina Abramovich method. And you know who Marina Abramovich is, don't you? She's that performance artist. She does a bunch of wild stuff. You've probably seen, if you look it up, you'll see she did, there's one, she does performance art. And the one she did was where she let people do literally anything they wanted to her for over a series of several hours. And I want to say they had to shut it down because people were starting to get violent with her or something. And she had weapons on a table. I'm going off of memory here. I want to say one of them, she had like a loaded gun. I mean, this chick's wild. And she was also in a music video with Jay-Z. She's a very famous artist, right? But she owns a home that's called the Star Home. And, of course, the star is the pentagram, right? It's a star-shaped home. And it's in New York near the Hudson River. And we're going to come back to that because that's all relevant to the occult. And during that Grammys episode, I mentioned how Aleister Crowley lived around that area because he lived in New York when he was doing... the Amalantra working, which is a ritual based upon the Enochian magic, the Enochian language, that John Dee and Edward Kelly were able to successfully channel from some entities. Now, there's, boy, where do I go with that? There's various ideas behind this. One belief is that he channeled an entity called Lamb, and he drew it in the preface to a book about Helena Blavatsky. And that's where that famous image is. The first gray alien is Lamb. And some would say that Lamb is actually a race of entities, a race of grays. But it's not carved in stone that that's officially how it went down. But people put the pieces together and they say, yeah, he did the Amelanchol working in New York, channeled Lamb, and then drew it later in the preface to, I don't remember it. It was a commentary on Helena Blavatsky's, I think it was The Voice and the Vision or something. I don't remember. Regardless, he did the Amelanchol working up in that same area where Marina Abramovich is chilling. Because at the time, Crowley was in America, and he was roaming around. He was working with British intelligence, and he ended up in the Hudson Valley area. And he was hanging out with his friend William Seabrook, who was the writer who supposedly practiced cannibalism. He tried it when he was studying the occult, and that's what motivated him to write the first fictional story about zombies. William Seabrook was also the man that, there's a famous story that Crowley was walking with Seabrook. Seabrook questioned the powers of Aleister Crowley's magic. So Aleister Crowley says, well, watch this. And he starts limping, doing a form of contagion magic or sympathetic magic. And, you know, 20 yards ahead of him was another guy walking, and that guy just started limping, you know? And Seabrook was like, oh, damn, illuminate, confirm Aleister Crowley. So anyway, Crowley was, and he was in, I think before he went to New York, he was in Mexico getting his initiation into various Freemason groups and such. Because, you know, he was going around the world dabbling in a bunch of different occult practices. So he eventually set up in New York on Esopus Island. And he was doing some meditation, doing a bunch of magic in that area. And it's believed that he had achieved a certain state of enlightenment or samadhi after making contact with entities and isolating himself, right? Because isolation is one of the key elements of ritual. And this might have been what prompted him to go to Central Park West in New York City in January 1918, to start conducting the Amelanchol working rituals, which is how he channeled Lamb. All right. Now, some of the, I think it was Michael Ford, some of the people who followed Crowley would later set up a cult of Lamb, and they were trying to contact this race of entities, this race of gray, egg-headed aliens. Now, Josie told me I need to stop drinking on the microphone. My apologies. I'm trying to sharpen up my professional edge for you guys. All right, just because Josie, rightfully so, points out, because I'm OG granola wokester. Okay, I got these blender bottles, and they're made of metal because I don't want the plastic. I don't want that plastic leaching into me, raising those estrogen levels. Man, you don't need that. So I use metal. And I put ice in it because I like my drinks cold, because I'm always hot. But unfortunately for you guys, when I go to take a little swiggy, you hear all the ice clanging around in the metal thing. And Josie was like, you got to stop doing that. Quit putting ice in your drink. Get a straw or something. Oh, man. Anyway, okay. So Esopus Island, to me, was very, when I read about this island, I thought of the term Oedipus, as in the Oedipus complex, which, to oversimplify things, I believe that Jack Parsons had an Oedipus complex, right? And what that is, let me see. I want to make sure I get this right. It's a Freudian theory. This is what Google says, all right? It says, the complex of emotions aroused in a young child, typically around the age of 4, by an unconscious sexual desire for the parent of the opposite sex and the wish to exclude the parent of the same sex. Now, that's nerd talk for a young boy wanting to bang his mom and kill his dad, which supposedly Jack Parsons had. Supposedly, Jack Parsons made sexy time with his mom. That's a old conspiracy theory rumor. I don't know if it's true. So if you go to, in my Substack, I link to bibliotecapleiades.net, a great repository for a lot of occult writings and such. And they have an article by Daniel V. Boudelion, which compares Crowley's lamb to a different alien depiction drawn by Ann Dieringer from the 1980s Hudson Valley. Same area. And you'll notice it's very similar looking. You got to see it on the Substack, though, right? And I'll put the images on the Instagram for the people that are like, I refuse to go to Substack. I refuse. All right, I'll put it on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. So you got this alien buggery going on in the Hudson Valley area, New York City, so on, which is where Marina Abramovich's star house is. And it's actually specifically located in Maldon Bridge, New York, which is 60 miles north of Esopus Island. It's very close to the Hudson River, which puts it, in my opinion, in the same general area of the preparation isolation rituals Crowley was doing in order to channel Lamb through Amalantra workings. Now, symbolically speaking, when you look at the architecture of the house, because you got to think about how all these occultists, they're very big into architecture. They're very big into sacred geometry. As above, so below. There's importance in shapes. And, you know, the Freemasons were the early architects, right? They call God the Grand Architect. And these are, and by the way, spoiler alert, I'm going to be, look, I know I've been talking about doing this heretic film analysis for weeks, months. I think I saw it in December in the theaters. And I've been working on it. And there's a lot to get into, all right? And next month, the month of May, the bonus show for the supporters is going to be a massive heretic deep dive. I don't know how long, 2-3 hours? It's going to be in that ballpark. It's a lot. It's going to be I'm going to be talking about it longer than the movie takes to watch, because it hits so many elements. And that's one idea. I'm not going to, no plot spoilers here on Heretic in case you haven't seen it, but there's some as above, so below going on. All right, I'll tell you that much. So the star, making this house the shape of a star, is obviously the pentagram, right? The star is the pentagram. One of the most occulted symbols, goes all the way back to Pythagoras and the mystery cults. They studied the importance of sacred geometry as the grand architect created the world as such. And they found the DNA, the fingerprints of God, in divine proportions, which is why they studied the golden ratio. Pi or P, golden ratio is phi, which is half of pi. And it's found throughout nature many times. Like, this seems to be a thing that God was into, right? And Pythagoras is very much a mathematician. And when you, it's funny, because when I went through college, I had a mathematics minor, and I took a lot of math courses, and all the same occult scientists were early minds in developing mathematical formulas. And math is fascinating. It is like the universal language. And it's only after studying it for so long do you really appreciate the beauty of these formulas and understand how definitive some of these ideas are, right? It's really interesting. So the magical connotations of using that pentagram, you will find in the magical orders, right? You'll find it in ceremonial magic or ritual magic. It's like the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which tell you know the Hermetic order. It goes back to Hermes, Thoth, the deity who taught mankind about alchemy and how to unlock the secrets of the universe for man to become God. But it was used as a tool for mediating with elementals or spiritual forces. There's rituals like the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram. And it's because magicians, they will, you know, invoke benevolent spirits, good ones, and they will also evoke elemental demonic spirits. Because sometimes you want to get your hands dirty, you want to do a little nasty business, so you got to call upon the demonic forces. But you got to get rid of those nasty demons, and you got to do that with a pentagram, apparently. I haven't done it. That's what I'm reading, though. And if you read Aleister Crowley's book, Magic and Theory and Practice, he said, much like Carl Jung, symbols are the gateways and that the pentagram was the most powerful key to the temple. It's the symbols in the microcosm can unlock and access higher realms. Now, and before I forget, a quick note. As you know, there's a lot of video drama. I talk about this many times, but I'm still working out how to do this. But if you want what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start adding images that I discuss onto the video version of this podcast. Which, good news, bad news. If you're on a tier 2 on the Patreon or the VIP section, you get access to the ad-free video version of this podcast, okay? Immediately, early access, the works, right? However, if you're on that free feed loser status, my YouTube, which is at Occult Symbolism, or Rumble, at Occult Symbolism, you're going to access the video, but you're going to get ads, and you're going to get it late, all right? Oh, offensively late. I'm still trying to figure out how to do all this, and I'm also trying to figure out how to make this even more polished. I'm talking to some people. I'm going to see if I can find a way to make these videos even better for you guys. But if I'm doing this right, when you listen to this, you can watch the video version if it's up. But like I said, I'm putting them up a little late as a way to, you know, show love to the supporters. I think eventually the plan is going to be to release them simultaneously. Like, supporters will get the early access ad-free video, but then free feed losers will get the video the day I release the podcast on the free feeds. All right. And Spotify, I'm going to put them on Spotify. Spotify, he's bugging me, like, put your videos on here. So I'm like, okay, here we go. So subscribe on Spotify or YouTube or Rumble. I don't care which one you use. None of them pay me. YouTube bans me all the time anyway. Whatever. Like, it's atrocious being a content creator when it comes to videos, okay? But if you want to support me, you know where to go and you know what to do. If you ain't got it, that's cool. But yeah, the video version, hopefully with this, you know, my time was always a constraint and it still is, but I'm saying screw it. I'm going to make these videos better. So I'm going to add these images that I'm talking about up here on the left corner of my stupid face. Okay. Now, it's interesting when it comes to the pentagram, because when you look at the Pentagon and the massive ritual event of 9/11, which I did a 5-part deep dive in September of 21, you gotta listen to those. Those were some of the most popular episodes I ever did. It's wild. I mean, part 5, we went into the book that George Bush was reading. What was it called? The My Pet Goat book. I bought the book and I read it. It's crazy. Anyway, the Pentagon and the pentagram, very relevant here, because the officer in charge of construction of the Pentagon was Colonel Leslie Groves Jr., who just so happened to also be the director of the Manhattan Project to develop the atomic bomb. Now, this entire event of the atomic bomb ties heavily into the lore of James Shelby Downer, the godfather of synchro mysticism. Someday I'm going to deep dive into this guy in the next 12 months. Give me, you know, things happen in my life. But I'm definitely going to deep dive into it. I'm definitely, sooner than later, going to give you a deep dive into King Kill 33, his famous essay discussing how JFK and his assassination was a ritual event for the Masonic cryptocracy, using magical symbology and so on. But I've connected the ideas of the Manhattan Project, the atomic bomb, to the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge series that we did. And I did a book club on this podcast not too long ago on Kenneth Grant's book, Outside the Circles of Time, which discusses, because Kenneth Grant was a magician hanging out with Aleister Crowley and such, and he wrote the book about how the atomic test opened up the gateway. It thinned the veil, and these entities from the UFO saucer flap of the 1940s was all part of it. And then you got the 9/11 ritual with the Pentagon. I mean, it's also pretty wild, right? So Marina Abramović, her home is the shape of the pentagram, and she believes that this home can be used to enhance spiritual energy by aligning it to cosmic forces, as above, so below. And she would use that in a form of alchemical spiritual transformation for Lady Gaga. That's right. And this was in 2013. Lady Gaga was at the Abramović Star Home working up the Abramović Method. And it's a method used to develop performance skills. Because as I said, Marina was a performance artist. Now, some of the methods for, or some of the techniques used in the Abramović Method are occulted. Sensory deprivation, expanding one's consciousness. These are all in the occult. All right. Marina said this about it, about Lady Gaga. She is a hardcore student. I had to blindfold her, and she was in the forest for 3 hours, eaten by mosquitoes and spiders, scratched by the bushes. It was quite incredible. Whatever I told her, she met the exercise absolutely to the end, never complaining. And my exercises are pretty tough. She never said it was too much. She said, I want more every time. Lady Gaga was totally committed, giving up her cell phone and all outside communication to focus on the training. The idea was that artists, even blindfolded, have to have vision like a blind man to feel with their entire body. She was in the fields and then the forest, and by her pure intuition, she had to find her way back home. During this exercise, completely of her own initiative, she took off her clothes. She just wanted to be in nature and to feel the elements. So she's been setting up for ritualistic events for a long time. And her facing the ego death and these Freemasonic type initiation rituals would play out in her recent appearance at Coachella. I watched the entire 2-hour performance. She performed a variety of songs, as you could imagine. And there's occult symbolism. When you look at the ego death through the Abramović Method, as well as the steps of alchemy, you can argue you see the primary colors of the alchemical process of black, white, and red. Those are the primary colors she uses, because black represents the black sun or Saturn. This is the initiation, the nigredo of the ego death, right? You need a dissolution of the ego. And then you go into the, the albedo of white, and then red is the rubedo or the phoenix, the final transformed candidate into something else. So she first, and this is going to be kind of tough to explain without showing you the images, but as I said, I'll have it on the video version of the show, YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, or better yet, go on that Patreon, get the ad-free version, and I'll put the images, they're on my Substack and my Instagram, okay? But she introduces these dueling spirits right off the bat. You see on the screens, there's two versions of Lady Gaga, and this is part of the negotiation of confronting the shadow, as Carl Jung would say. And then she performs a variety of acts demonstrating this battle between the different aspects of Lady Gaga, right? You had these acts portrayed on the chessboard, the tessellating black and white squares. This is, of course, Freemasonic, much like Tucker Kabbalah Carlson interviewing Conor McGregor in a Masonic lodge recently. But you also have Lady Gaga doing it. And this is the Moses pavement. Not referring to Moses from the Bible, but Moses as in the Muses, which is Lady Gaga. She is the Muse. And you find these black and white checkered floors on the Freemasonic lodges. And it represents the opposing polarities. She would confront her shadow self during this Coachella performance and seemingly defeat it, successfully completing the destruction of the ego, the Negredo. And then you would see her dead, right? She was depicted dead. She was in a grave surrounded by skeletons, you know, presumably underground, which is where all these initiations go. It's you have to face death. You have to be underground. A bit of a play on the mockery, I would say, a heresy, dare I say, of the Christian story of God dying, Jesus dying for our sins, and resurrected 3 days later as God, proving without a doubt he was God. So you see Lady Gaga underground and surrounded by skeletons. She's literally dead. And then she confronts yet another entity in red, symbolizing a demonic entity. Now, this could be some kind of Coron Zone approaching of the Deoth, the hidden realm of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. But regardless, during this confrontation, she comes out reborn wearing the outfit of the False Maria. This is from the occulted film, Fritz Lang's 1927 Metropolis, which, ironically, I also did a whole Substack exploring the Whore of Babylon and the ideas and symbolism behind it. You can check that symbolism out as well. And in it, I used that image of the Lady Gaga as the False Maria that you find in her paparazzi video, which depicted her murder of her alter ego, Lena Morgana, which we're going to talk about in the conclusion here coming up real quick. Now, towards the end, she would play piano on top of a giant all-seeing eye. This is the symbol of achieving enlightenment into the occult studies of our world. That's how they demonstrate it with the all-seeing eye. And at the end of the performance, Lady Gaga, you'll find her on the operating table of sorts, being worked on by these odd characters. They seem very demonic, has a demonic vibe to it. And she says, "Monsters never die," before removing a plastic over-wrapping and singing Bad Romance. Now, this is, again, very Twin Peaks. She's wrapped in plastic, right? But the concept to consider here is the death and rebirth, right? She's reborn, depicted in all white, the color of the purity and the cleansing. And then the final imagery from the concert is the worship of the Black Sun, symbolizing the transformation via alchemy and the Black Sun of Saturn of Lady Gaga. So what was she doing there? What was this all about? Well, she was completing the great work. For Crowley, he believed achieving the great work is to simply make contact with your holy guardian angel, with which your HGA will tell you your true will, which is something Aleister Crowley would accomplish with AWAS and LAM and so on. And she had done similar stuff. She had performed at Coachella in 2017, and you could see that she was channeling these sort of H.P. Lovecraftian type entities and so on. But if you listen to my episode about the symbolism of Lady Gaga and her performance at the Grammys of 2025, you already know the answer. The short answer is yes, Lady Gaga was completing her great work. And I believe that her new track, Abracadabra, signifies her completion. And as I discussed on my podcast, Crowley was the first to write this word down in the Book of the Law, and he called it the magical formula of the Aeon, and it signifies the completion of the great work. So when she says those word, when she says that word, abracadabra, it signifies the completion of her great work, something she's been working towards for many years. Now, this wasn't Lady Gaga's first rodeo, all right? I wrote about this 8 years ago in The Dark Path, and we're going to go through it right now. So you don't have to even go get the book and support years of research. I'm going to read it right to you. I'm going to read/paraphrase, okay? Now, Lady Gaga's story starts long before she was Lady Gaga. Her name is Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta. And she was friends with a rising star that went by the name of Lena Morgana. And they were working on songs together because they had a producer named Rob Fusari. And it was interesting because Lena Morgana was actually kind of popping long before Lady Gaga. But they did have a couple songs together, apparently. Influential upon each other for sure. Well, Lena Morgana would allegedly die from suicide after jumping from the top of a building in 2008. Anytime I see someone suiciding from the top of a building, I don't know, I think about Frank Olson and MK Ultra. But anyway, she fell or jumped from a 10-story hotel in Staten Island. Now, what I pointed out in the dark path, what was interesting is that same year, Germanotta, Lady Gaga, she assumes the name Lady Gaga because that's very witchy, okay? Because the name Lady is a title taken up by female witches. And in 2009, she releases The Fame, which skyrockets her to the top of the charts, and the rest is history, as they say. Now, the allegation is that Lady Gaga had something to do with the death of Lena Morgana, a bit of a blood sacrifice, if you will. The Faustian bargain in exchange for fame and fortune, she has to give up an offering of sacrifice, and that was her bestie, Lena Morgana. Now, back in the day, there was a blog called thehollywoodgossip.com, and they claimed a quote through newyorkpost.com, which the post had been deleted, so I couldn't confirm the validity, but I have seen this in other places since then. So I'm going to put allegedly in front of this just in case. But Lena Morgana's mother said, quote, Lady Gaga is holding Lena's soul, and I want her soul to be free. Now, something else that was very strange when I was researching this topic, Lena Morgana appeared on an episode of Celebrity Ghost Stories, and she was portraying a younger version of Gina Gershon. In that episode, which aired October 25th, 2008, which was 2 months after Lena Morgana's death in August of 2008, that episode was Gina Gershon's celebrity ghost story about her time spent at a haunted hotel that was haunted because of multiple suicides of people jumping to their death. Now, obviously, that's interesting, but there's more to it than that. In 2015, Lady Gaga would appear on a television show, American Horror Story Hotel, about a haunted hotel. And she played a vampire named the Countess, who consumed others' blood so that she may live. You know, the story of a vampire. And in one particular episode, a character named Sally is killed by sending her out of the hotel to fall to her death. Very similar to the death of Lena Morgana. Furthermore, in the show, the Countess, Lady Gaga, is depicted with a male model for a boyfriend, which was also parallel to Lena Morgana, who was dating a male model before she died. Then, furthermore, in Lady Gaga's paparazzi video, we also see a male model pushing Lady Gaga off a roof in an attempted murder as well. That's the video where she shows up as the false Maria, the robotic transhuman version. Now, it's undeniable that Lady Gaga's style seems to have been lifted from Lena Morgana, but whether or not she conducted that blood sacrifice remains in the realm of speculation. And over the years, there's been a vast amount of illuminate confirmed symbolism from Lady Gaga, the all-seeing eye, the 6-6 hand. She had a perfume called Fame, which she claimed had her blood in it, as well as semen. She said when she sold it, it said it was like having a sense of her on your skin. And back then I was talking about the Abramovic method, which was connected to a satanic-like prayer she conducted at the Louvre in Paris. And the Louvre, of course, big old pyramid, has an underground pyramid, inverted as above, so below. Illuminate confirmed the Louvre. Louvre. I don't know. How do you say it? And there was this video if you weren't around back then, it was wild. There's a video where she kind of repeated the same thing over and over, real creepy. She said, "The next day another turn came, and so it continued always the same. Greatest Christ, Christ's ejaculation, always the same." And then there was an interview in 2010 from the Rolling Stone with Lady Gaga, and she had dreams about demons and stuff. They asked her, "Do you have any recurring dreams?" Which I'm sure was a softball that her manager was like, "Hey, ask her about her recurring dreams." She hesitates, and then she says, "I have this recurring dream sometimes where there's a phantom in my home, and he takes me into a room, and there's a blonde girl with ropes tied to all four of her limbs, and she's got my shoes on from the Grammys. Go figure, psycho. And the ropes are pulling her apart. I never see her get pulled apart, but I just watch her whimper. And then the phantom says to me, 'If you want me to stop hurting her, and if you want your family to be okay, you will cut your wrist.' And I think that he has his own, like, crazy wrist-cutting device. And he has this honey in, like, Tupperware. And it looks like sweet and sour sauce with a lot of MSG from New York. Just bizarre. And he wants me to pour the honey into the wound and then put cream over it and a gauze. So I looked up the dream, and I couldn't find anything about it anywhere. And my mother goes, 'Isn't that an Illuminati ritual?' And I was like, 'Oh, my God.'" She later then would hook up with New Age guru Deepak Chopra for advice and said it felt like a devil force was trying to take hold of her. And Deepak, of course, being a New Age occultist, he laughed and told her to embrace her insanity. He says, "Don't worry," which seems very fitting for a guy like Deepak Chopra. So Lady Gaga's always been down this dark path, right? And I'm rarely shocked by her antics. Now, as I stated before, you know, I'm not a cancel culture kind of guy. I don't care that she does this. I just like to raise awareness to it. I actually enjoy Lady Gaga's music. Call me crazy. Not like a total stan. Like, I'm not listening to every album, but, like, she's got a lot of good catchy tunes. I dig it. But my angle is to raise awareness of these dark arts that some of these people seem to be employing. Just so you're armed with the knowledge, okay? Because you might wake up one day and be inspired to maybe dabble in some dark things. And that's when you're going to hear your boy whisper in your ear, "Don't do it. Don't illuminate, confirm." You... But you know what I'm saying. I just think raising awareness is the key here. Because it depends, right? Because some people are occultists and, you know, maybe they love it. Great, knock yourself out, you know? But if you're Christian warrior and you're concerned about these things, you're not crazy, right? This symbolism is there and it's based into the occult, into the realms of the occult. And I'm not saying that occultists worship the devil, but there's a lot of dangerous elements involved with the occult. So, calls to action. You know I got a call to action. What do I got for you? I got three calls to action. Let's count them down. Number one, go subscribe to my Substack. It's free. IlluminatiWatcher.substack.com. You can do it while I'm on the phone with you right now. Get out your little device and check it out. IlluminatiWatcher.substack.com. Sign up for the free one, right? They're all free right now. And I just published an article about the death of Prince, because his death anniversary was on April 21st. And I talk about the symbolism of the elevator and the astrology signs of which he died upon at Paisley Park. It's pretty crazy. But I published that article with the images. So you'll be able to read that and read the Whore of Babylon article I wrote months ago. And you'll get updates on all the newest articles. I write one or two a month right now. And in fact, the comments... Join the comments section, because the Lady Gaga article had some interesting comments, to say the least, okay? I'll read some to you. Starseed Patriot said that Marina Abramovich is actually Robert Maxwell's dead son, Michael. Robert Maxwell meaning Ghislaine Maxwell's father from the Mossad stuff. Now, supposedly, his son Michael died when he was 15 in, a car accident. But Starseed Patriot says, nope. That's actually Marina Abramovich. Said that Michael Maxwell is actually Marina Abramović and is now Lady Gaga's father. Or mother? I don't know. Starseed says father. Finkelstein is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkelstein. And that Lady Gaga's real name is Stephen Gerblecki? I don't know where this is coming from. These are wild revelations. N.E. Garden Guru says Lady Gargoyle Satan's concubine. Not a fan, apparently. Wednesday Justin said, I'm a free feed loser who truly enjoys reading your Substacks. Oh, thanks, Wednesday Justin. You really know your stuff. I look forward to every time you post something. Thank you, Ising. All right, cheers. See, Wednesday Justin knows what's up. Come join us. Unicorn Slayers said that George Carlin hosted the first SNL. That's true. I actually watched it not too long ago. And that SNL was created to indoctrinate the masses. Fabian Andre says, this is why I love this woman. She's definitely tapped into occult studies. See, I got people from all over the spectrum on there. And you could join the conversation with these insane people on the Substack comment section. So go now, IlluminatiWatcher.substack.com. And I'm joking, of course. No one's insane. It's an insane world. So that was number one. Number two, if you love reading and the Substack ain't enough for you, I got 9 books. I'm working on the 10th one right now about Twin Peaks. I got 9 books. You can get all of them. Amazon, Audible. I narrated them on Audible. Or Gumroad. I sign paperback copies and I mail them right to you. I just sent a package of all 9 books, a mega package, that's on there right now. I sent it to Chris up in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. That could be you. That's number two. Last, definitely not least, if you were like, yeah, you know what, Isaac, I love reading, and I want to read that Dark Path book, your most famous, most magnum opus-y book, you can get it and Kubrick's Code by signing up for my Patreon. Right? Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. And I'm going to tell you right now, the monthly bonus show for May is the Heretic one. It's going to be off the chain. Yeah, and just like Lady Gaga performing the sacrificial offering for fame, Heretic's got similar themes. We're going to unpack. It's going to take a couple hours. And oh boy. So you can go get in the Patreon right now and get ready for that. You can get the Dark Path ebook, get the Cooper's Code ebook. You get a 3-hour Cooper's Code documentary I made. You get, unlock hundreds of bonus episodes. The 55 episode deep dive into Twin Peaks. I know you guys absolutely love Twin Peaks and you want more. Well, there's 55 episodes on there. So there you go. 3 things to do. Substack, free. Books, not free. Patreon, not free, but you get hundreds of hours of content and 2 free books. So pick your poison. Links in the show notes. Till next time, stay positive.